Welcome to this video. In this video, we will deep dive into the PMore roaster and talk about roasting with it, about roasting profiles. And therefore, I have a very special guest. He's the current US champion in coffee roasting. And he's also the founder of Elevator Coffee. He's Andrew Koh. Welcome, Andrew.
Hi, thanks so much.
It's so great to have you. And for everybody that would like to know more about Andrew, about his way in coffee roasting and his approach to coffee roasting, there is a video that we've published a couple of days ago. You can find it in the link above. But now we are going to particularly talk about the PMore roaster because, Andrew, when you started roasting, you started as a home roaster, and one of the first roasters that you had was the PMore roaster. Can you tell us a little bit about your way into roasting, when you've started, and with what equipment you've worked, and then also when you started working with the PMore and how you used this roasting machine?
Yeah, thanks so much. So my first roaster as a home roaster was an air popcorn popper. I think that's a famous way that many people start roasting at home. It's just so easy to do. But then I got a PMore 1600 as my next roaster. And I think for me, it was a lot easier to control the roasts. It was more evenness in the roasts. So that was 2013, I believe I got that one. And I have done about 800 batches. I roasted when we first started Elevator Cafe, just kind of experimenting with roasting for the cafe. I was doing some small batches for us there. And then there was a local coffee roasting competition that I entered and won using the PMore. So that launched our coffee roasting program at Elevator. And for a while, I used the PMore as my sample roaster. In all, I think I have over 800 batches on the PMore. So I've used it quite a bit. It's really durable. Good little roaster.
I assume when you won the coffee roasting championship with it, the other roasters, they were probably working with other equipment as well. Not everybody was working with the home roaster.
No, this was against commercial roasters. So most people were on drum roasters or other commercial equipment. So PMore did a really good job there.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then when you did about 800 roasts of the machine, you used it quite a bit. You've had the 1600 plus model. Now there is a bit newer model, the 2020. I think the general settings and the general ways of working with the machine are about the same. There are some safety functions. I think one change is the drum speed. Yours had like 8 and 16 rotations per minute. The newer one has the possibility to turn a bit faster, even to 32 rotations. But beside of that, I think when we are going to talk now about the machine, about your experiences with it, and we are also going to talk about roasting profiles that you were working with on the PMore, I think most of the information people can then really use still on their new machines as well.
Yeah.
There is one thing maybe I want to tell before we dive a little bit into that. You're going to, because we have quite a lot of, we have people from the US watching. We have also a lot of people from Europe watching. We're going to talk now about Fahrenheit and pounds. But when we will go a bit deeper into profiles, then we will also then do some conversions and publish them in a file that people can find in the link below.
Yep.
But before we go into that, you can maybe share a little bit your ideas or your opinion on the PMore roaster. What your opinion are his strengths or weaknesses, his limitations. So, why did you use it? Why did you like it? And what is your impression of the machine?
Yeah, I really enjoyed using the PMore for my own home use. I think it's a really durable machine. I think you can get some pretty repeatable results out of it. I think the main challenge with the machine is that it uses a infrared heat application, so the burners in the back, supply infrared radiation, and that's what heats the coffee.
Yeah.
So that is a little bit a different way of applying heat to coffee versus drum roasters or air roasters that you rely a lot more on convection and conduction. The methods on the Demor are just slightly different, and we'll kind of talk about that when we do some profiles. Another challenge with the Demor is it does produce some smoke. So if you're indoors and roasting, there's going to be smoke coming out of your machine. So if you have a way of venting either with a smoke hood or some sort of a fan, that can be helpful to mitigate the smoke. I also find that it doesn't cool the coffee immediately. So when I was roasting on the Beanmor, I, at the end of the roast, would turn the roaster off and oven mitts, and I'd pull the drum out and dump the coffee onto a baking sheet with a fan to cool it off, and then turn the roaster back on to cool mode to let all the internals cool down. So they didn't overheat too much. But if you leave the coffee inside the roaster for its own cool cycle, there is that little element on the top of the roaster that they call an afterburner, and it stays hot. And that is supposed to suppress smoke, but it also keeps your beans from cooling down very rapidly. So it's just a challenge there. If that element stays hot, your beans don't cool rapidly enough. And so your flavors can change. From the actual endpoint of your roast, your flavors will continue to evolve in the drum because of that additional heat source, basically. But yeah, those are kind of my initial takeaways on the Demor.
Yeah. So you did the external cooling, but you said also, I mean, you were managing to do a consistent roast with the machine. But I think in order to get consistent results with the machine, you also need kind of a workflow, or like the consistent workflow. That's the case, I mean, for any roaster, but in particular also with the Beanmor, probably, where you don't have this super precise temperature measurement that you have with all the other, or with some other machines. So can you tell us a little bit about your ways of working with the machine, about your procedure? Did you preheat them? How did you manage to get then the consistent roast with the Beanmor out of it?
Yeah, so I was mostly roasting in a garage in Portland, Oregon. So, you know, for us, we have relatively high humidity, kind of cooler ambient temperatures all year round. And in a garage, it wasn't insulated. So particularly in the winter, to warm up the machine, I would just run a empty batch to get the whole machine warmed up and cooled down.
Yeah.
And then I do use a preheat. So typically I would just run the kind of default setting, start, and I would watch for the B temperature setting to reach a certain temperature. And so we'll talk about that on the profile. For each profile, I have a preheat temperature that I heated up to and then stopped and then entered coffee, all the parts.
Then do the profile, and then, as I said, you did the cooling of the beans then outside of the machine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so, but between batches, I would let the machine run its full cool cycle down and then restart the process, where hit preheat, you know, get set up with green coffee if I need to do another batch, and then preheat to the same temperature and start.
Yeah, okay. Which is then taking a bit more time, but like that, you get consistent results out of the machine. And how many grams did you usually use? Because in the other videos, you told me that you like to make shorter roasts. So I don't know if that was already also the case when you worked with the Beemore. So, but what amounts of beans do you usually take with the Beemore?
Yeah, my batches were between about 250 grams to 350 grams. I almost never roast full batches. But I think you can. It just takes a longer time. For me, that 250 to 350 seemed to be where I could get the most repeatability and got consistently good results.
Yeah. Mm. And is that, before we dive a bit in particular profiles, but something in general that you realized for the Beemore, like in comparison to, because you've been roasting then like the popcorn roast with the Beemore, with an Alio Bullet, now with a Probat commercial roasting machine. Is there something that you think is really particular on the Beemore, where it then also have to be a bit specific about the roasting profiles, like in general?
Yeah, as I was saying about the infrared heating, one thing that's unique about applying infrared heat to coffee is that as your coffee gets to a darker color, it absorbs heat more easily. And so if you talk about phases of the coffee roast, it starts as a very light color green, gets yellow, gets browner. As the color gets to a darker and darker color, yep, your roast is accelerating, mostly because that infrared heat has an easier path into the coffee. So on the Beemore, it's very easy, for example, to go from first crack to second crack if you leave your power settings very high. So you really need to manage the power settings at the end of the roast if you want to preserve acidity or have a lighter roast. If you look at how people talk about roast profiles on commercial machines, they talk about phases of drying the coffee, Maillard phase, and after the first crack phase. And those numbers and the power settings that you'll see for those roasters are just very different from the way the Beemore applies heat to the coffee. Yeah. Those phases aren't going to be very easily applied to a Beemore. So that infrared setting is for sure, or heat application is one of the main things that makes the Beemore unique. And so getting a handle on how that applies heat to your coffee is really, really important to get good results. I would say that because the machine is just so small, paying attention to your ambient conditions, your humidity, particularly your temperature, the temperature of your green coffee, all of those can really change the outcome of your roast. So if you can keep any of those things consistent, keep the machine just stored in a climate-controlled area, your green coffee gets stored in a climate-controlled area where that temperature won't vary quite as much, instead of, say, outdoors or in a garage. That can help with consistency of the roast, even if you have to roast somewhere that's cooler. But paying attention to those temperature differences for such a small roaster is very important. And then, yes, developing a good workflow where your preheat is similar every time, your cooling process is similar every time, that can help with consistency. The Beemore, the way it tracks time too, starts with a countdown, basically. So it goes from 12 or 18 minutes, and then it counts down as the roast goes along. I like to have just a separate timer that counts upwards so that I can track things in a positive direction instead of a negative direction. It makes calculations more easy. It makes, especially if you need to add time to the roast where it actually changes your count, if you're using an external timer, you can actually see what the real time is. And that, again, can just help with measuring your roast. So, yeah, those are some main considerations that really can help manage how you roast with the Beamware and get results that you like in a more consistent way.
Perfect. Perfect. Thanks a lot. Yeah, that's really, I think that's really important. And yeah, also what you said about consistency of the surrounding of the environment, so that you have same temperature if possible, and green coffees. That's also something people sometimes forget. Sometimes they have green coffee has a bit of cooler temperature or it's a bit hotter. So if you then really probably store the green coffee, for example, in your apartment, always about the same time before you put it in the roaster, that will also make then a difference on the roasting profile. So when you started with getting into commercial roasting, firstly, you were working with the Beamore also for smaller batches, but you also used it as a sample roaster. Can you tell us a little bit about your procedure or about your profile when you did sample roasting with the Beamore?
Yeah, so as a sample roaster, I was trying to figure out a methodology to just roast 100 grams, which is kind of a typical sample size that you get from importers. Sometimes you get more, sometimes you get less, but almost always you can get about 100 grams. So I wanted to develop a profile that I could repeatedly do 100 gram samples with. And the approach is similar to how I roasted larger batches, but just very short after first crack time to try and keep the coffee developed, but light so that we could taste any defects, anything off with a sample, kind of taste what particular acidity, what kind of sweetness the coffee has. So I can talk about that profile if you'd like.
That would be interesting, yeah, if you can kind of take us through the profile, like the steps that you do, or you said you would take about 100 grams. Mm-hmm. And then you said also before that you always let the machine be preheated. You do a full empty cycle and then you preheat the temperature. So maybe you can go through the steps so that people then really have kind of a profile for sample roasting when they get 100 gram samples.
Yeah. So typically I would turn the roaster on, let it run empty, just one full cycle, heating, cooling. I didn't even care if it would do the timeout where if you hit that certain safety time, if no one pushes a button, it doesn't continue. But I just wanted the machine to heat up and cool down before I started roasting. So typically I would turn that on. I would go prepare all my samples, weigh them out. If I need to weigh them, get them, bags set up, places for them to go. And then I would come back to the roaster once it was all done with its first cycle. I would start it to preheat up to 140 Fahrenheit, I think 60 Celsius. While it's preheating, I would put the coffee into the drum. I would preheat with the chaff collector inside the machine, but then take that out at 140-ish. It's not too hot. It's warm, but it's not too hot. Put the drum in and then immediately start the roast. I started with just the default setting at the largest weight. So on mine, that says 1 pound. I think on your version, it might say 400 or 450 gram. So I start with that. Just the profile that I use for almost all of the batches for the coffees I was roasting is the P1 power. I think that is the full power profile. Yeah. There are others. I never used those because my coffees were almost always high elevation, dense coffees. And I liked roasting a little bit faster in general. So that profile worked well for me. Start the roast using the full one pound profile. Yeah. I would let it roast for 4 minutes, 4.5 minutes. And then I would turn on the manual setting. So instead of the automated roasting, you push the D button. Is that the control? Yeah. and then you're in manual, I would turn my drum speed to fast from the slower setting. And then I would change the, I would keep the power high, five setting. Yeah. Until I heard the first sign of first crack, any pop, I would change the power to 4. And then 30 seconds after that first pop, change the power to 3. And then 1 minute after, power to 2. And then after 30 seconds, I was looking for an end temperature around 304 Fahrenheit. Yeah. End the roast. So yeah. Very quick after first crack starts, only a minute and a half. So it's fairly fast, but I got good results. Sometimes if I had, say, a coffee from Kenya, maybe I might add like 5 seconds to the end, but almost always just stuck exactly to that profile.
Yeah. That was the sample procedure. This was probably the lightest expression of roast that you had.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But when you now did kind of a roast for you that was kind of a light filter roast, did you do it similarly, or how did you do? What kind of profile did you use then when you wanted to make a light roast for your coffee, for drinking your coffee?
Yeah, a lighter roast. So my typical batch size, again, is between 250 to 350 grams. But typically, I was using 270 grams for lighter roast coffees. And my preheat was slightly higher. 160 degrees Fahrenheit.
How did you like the video so far? I find this interview just so inspiring. There is so much you can learn about coffee roasting. Did you know that one of the main reasons we can get so great people to these interviews is that we have a couple of thousand subscribers in this channel? Because like that, they know if they take their time, there are going to be a lot of people that are going to watch the video then. At the same time, if I'm looking at YouTube, I see that most of the people that are watching these videos don't subscribe to our channel. Therefore, I'm just asking you for a little favor. Take these 2 seconds of time and subscribe to our channel. You are going to do me, but also the whole coffee roasting community, a big favor, because the more subscriber we have, the more and bigger guests we can get for these interviews. By the way, if you like this video, you can also give it a like, because the more it is liked, the more it's going to be shown on YouTube. So much for that. I thank you very much. But now let's continue with the video.
So the process is similar. Preheat the roaster to that 160 Fahrenheit, load the coffee, just leave the default high power setting, slow drum until, for the larger batch, I would go until, 6 minutes. Let it go 6 minutes and then change to a faster drum speed. Still high power, let that go for 1 more minute, and then start lowering the power. So P4 at 7 minutes in, and then the first sign of first crack, lower the power to P3. Again, the idea there is that particularly around first crack, the coffee is the most volatile it will be throughout most of the roast process. So lowering the power right around first crack is trying to gently add heat in a way that preserves acidity, any floral notes. So, first sign of first crack, lower to power 3. Let that continue to roast for 1 minute at that setting, and then lower to power 2. And usually I would end the roast 2 minutes after that initial first crack pop. And the exit temperature there is about 331 Fahrenheit. Yeah. And those temperatures for the preheat, I used the temperature setting of B, which is the drum wall temperature. And but the end temperatures, I was always using the A temperature reading, because that is the exhaust temperature. And I feel that the exhaust temperature is more meaningful at the end of the roast. The environmental temperature kind of will plateau and not give you very much meaningful information towards the end if you're lowering your power settings. But that A temperature will really tell you where you are, because the beans are actually kind of tracking with your exhaust temperature. It's not exact, but it's the best way to measure, I think.
Yeah, interesting. And by the way, but that's something a bit like off topic, then how do you usually then let the beans rest before you're drinking? Do you like leave them for about a week? Do you leave them open, or do you then usually pack them already in bags?
I like to put them, I like to have them bagged, but I think after at least a week, for all of our coffees at Elevator, I say that 10 days to 20 days is the sweet spot for me.
Yeah.
Pretty similar for other light roasts, I think. But yeah, usually around a week, it's gotten to a point. For me, if you cup the coffee every day after you roast it, on day one, day two, day three, the coffee may change quite a bit. Day four, five, six, it starts to stabilize. But by day 7, 10, 20, you get very consistent cupping results.
Yeah.
According to my palate. And that is where I like to drink the coffee, in that area where it's stabilized every day. It kind of has consistent results in the cup.
Yeah, thanks a lot. And what about if people like to have a bit more like a medium roast, if they like to go a little bit darker than this very light roast? Did you have an approach there as well?
Yeah. The medium roast, I use almost all the same settings. I actually preheat at a slightly lower temperature, which the idea there is to roast a little longer time. Just give the coffee more time to be in the roaster, and just keep the development, all the phases of development longer. So kind of the setup looks similar. The preheat looks a little cooler, but similar. 140 degrees, similar, 270 grams of coffee in. The initial conditions, I start with the same settings. About 8 minutes in, actually, I changed the drum from the default setting to the fast setting. I lower I lower the power about 12 minutes into the roast. So we're stretching this roast longer compared to the lighter roast. And so all the phases of the coffee are just extended. But around first crack again, I'm still lowering the power setting to power of 3, but letting the roast continue longer. Still about 2 minutes of post first crack time, but the exhaust temperature with a much longer roast, your exhaust temperature actually gets quite a bit higher. So I'm ending this kind of more medium roast about 340 degrees, so about 10 degrees higher temperature. And similarly, if you want an even more developed roast, almost all the same settings for the first, up until first crack, but then after first crack, go out to 3, 3.5 minutes. And your end temperature actually reads fairly similarly, but that infrared heat, even though it's at a pretty low setting, it will take you almost into second crack. And once, you know, the recommendations on the Beanware are not really to get the coffee much beyond second crack, just for fire risks. But you can get to second crack in 3 minutes after first crack, even with not super high heat settings.
Hey, thanks a lot for sharing this. This is super interesting and I think also very valuable for people that are roasting with the BMOR. And you also said that you won the Cascadia Cup with the BMOR. So is it kind of a secret or are you open to sharing the profile that you used in that cup?
Yeah, no, I'm happy to share. This was a specific profile designed for this coffee that was provided. The style of this competition was similar to the U.S. roasting competitions where we were provided, I believe, 20 pounds of green coffee. They did not tell you what it was. We had to submit 3 pounds, I believe, of roasted coffee to a panel of judges and evaluated and blindly evaluated, and they scored the coffees, and this profile ended up winning the overall against commercial roasters. So it worked very well. This is a very light profile. I believe the coffee was maybe a grade 3 washed Ethiopia. So it was an interesting coffee. It had some defects just with the green coffee, but it was kind of challenging to roast, actually. But this profile, I tried to apply a lot of heat to the first part of the roast. So I used a little higher preheat temperature. I used a little lower dose, so 250 grams of coffee preheat at 160 Fahrenheit. Used the full power initial settings. At 6 minutes into the roast, I switched from the slower drum speed to the fast drum speed, still keeping high power. At 7 minutes into the roast, I lower power from 5 to 4. And then at first crack, I think my temperature at first crack was 309 on the A temperature reading. I lowered all the way to power 2. And ended the roast 1 minute, 10 seconds after the start of that first crack. So this was 250 grams in, 220 grams out. It's like 12% weight loss. So fairly light. But it was designed to be a cupping profile where judges did cup. Had very high sweetness, good floral notes. Profile might not work well for central coffees, Central American, South American coffees, which tend to, if you roast in this style, they may have some kind of underdeveloped green flavors. But for washed Ethiopia, it worked really nicely.
Yep, nice. Hey, thanks so much for sharing this. And we will also post a link down here where people then also can review the profiles. We will post them in the Fahrenheit pound readings, but also then in Celsius and gram, so that people can find the profile that's best for them. And with this profile that you just talked about, you won the Cascadia Cup. Now you just won the US Roasting Championships and you're preparing for Taipei. So I wish you just all the best. And I really have to say thank you because, although you're now at a different stage or different level on roasting, you still take your time to share all this information for the home roasting world. I think that's so valuable because there is not much. There could still be more information for the BMOR roaster, also for home roasters. Therefore, I really appreciate you did and thank you in the name of the whole home roasting world for taking your time and sharing this information with us. Thanks a lot.
Thanks so much for having me. Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm happy to share and thanks again for the time. Really appreciate it. It was fun to talk to you.
One last thing, if people want to know more about you or about Elevator Coffee, where can they find more information about you?
Yeah, Elevator Coffee. Our website is elevator.coffee. On Instagram, where we are ElevatorCC, and on Instagram, yeah. I am Andrew Co. Coffee. So give us a follow there.
Perfect. Yeah, I will share the link also down here. And then, yeah, thanks so much, Andrew. It was so nice talking to you. And thanks for all for sharing all that information with us. I hope this video was fun to watch and it was helpful for you. If you want to know more about coffee roasting, then come to our website, roasttravels.com. We have a lot of information on roasting, but we have also equipment like coffee roasting machines, color meters, books, and many more. In addition to that, a really nice selection of green coffee beans from all over the world. You find a link to our website right here. You could also look through our YouTube channels. We have a lot of videos on coffee roasting, on equipment, but also very inspirational interviews with coffee roasters, coffee traders, and many more. If you have any questions left, then always come back to me. I'm Ingo from Roast Travels, and I look forward to talking to you.